Welcome to Healthy Pet HQ. Today is Tuesday, October 8th. I'm your host, Jody Ziskin, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Joining me today is world-renowned holistic veterinarian, Dr. Larry Bernstein. Dr. B, as he's affectionately called by his clients, is one of the pioneers of the modern holistic veterinary movement. He's been practicing veterinary medicine since 1977, and I should have said Bernstein. I don't know why I said Bernstein. And he's been using alternative medicine since 1991. So he's been doing this a long time. Dr. B utilizes a variety of modalities with his patients, and including acupuncture and laser therapy, chiropractic work, Reiki, and, of course, our topic of the day, homeopathy. He has extensive training in homeopathy and is also certified by the Association of Veterinary Homeopathy, which is huge. Not only is Dr. B loved by his clients and his patients, his peers think he's pretty great, too. He was named the 2012 Holistic Practitioner of the Year by the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, and he'll be joining me in a moment. Later in the hour, I'll have another cat fact and doggy do to share. But before we get to all that, let's welcome Dr. B. Dr. B, come on on. Welcome, and thank you for being here.
My pleasure. This is exciting. Well,
before we get in, it is exciting, and we've known each other a long time, so I wanted to kind of give a little primer here before we get into the whole ins and outs of homeopathy. I first met Dr. B, oh gosh, it had to be 1995, and he's the person who inspired me to become a holistic nutrition specialist for pets. We met when I brought my kitty, Kayla, who was the kitty love of my life, to see him. And through his guidance and patience, he opened my eyes to a whole new way to care for pets. Because of him, she beat the odds and lived for another 6 years. And even though she was 20 and a half, she was still way too young for my taste. She lived forever. That wouldn't have been long enough for me. But because of him, we had 6 and a half more years together. So I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm not just bringing somebody on who I know nothing about. This somebody I truly believe in, who I truly care about, who has done so much for me and for my pets and for my friends and their pets and clients. And I'm so excited to have you on. So welcome again, and let's talk about homeopathy.
Well, let's say homeopathy. Homeopathy helped Kayla, and that was September 2006. And she was,
wow,
she was hyperthyroid and had IBD, inflammatory bowel disease. I'm looking at the record.
Yeah, and kidney disease.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the 22 is good, but we've got some running around that are 26 and 28 now.
You know, they should be. Cats can live till 30. I mean, we should really all want our cats to live that and hopefully even longer as we keep looking towards holistic remedies and holistic solutions instead of all the drugs and the testing and all the invasive procedures.
Well, I think that gets right to the heart of homeopathy. I mean,
yeah, so explain what it is. How do you explain it to your clients?
I like to try to get them online to read about it first because I've written a homeopathic primer on our website and a couple chapters on it, which are now available on the new website, docb.com. There's a section called Client or Information Library, and there's something called Articles, and it has like 11 of the Royal Spaniel Magazine articles that were putting together into a book. So it's got, it happens to be, I think, chapter 4 is probably the biggest on homeopathy there. But anyway, if you think of everything in nature having that's out of balance manifests in some sort of vibration, if your car tire is wobbling or your centrifuge or your ceiling fan, or a good one I always like to use is your washing machine. If it's out of balance, it shakes. That shaking is basically what we call symptoms. In other words, there's a central life force, there's a central vital force. If it's out of tune, out of balance, the shaking it does is the IBD or the asthma or the skin problems or the hyperthyroid or the later on cancer. And if you have your washing machine in your house and it's out of balance, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to take big steel chains and bolt it to the floor so it couldn't shake, because you know in your heart that if you didn't open the door and balance the load, then inside it would just shake itself apart sooner or later. Most conventional medicine tries to just block the symptoms or chain down the washing machine rather than opening the door and balancing the load, though it's starting to see that a little bit more, but you have anti-inflammatories, antidepressants, antibiotics, anti-everything instead of opening the door and trying to make things better from the inside out. That's what homeopathy, in the real short description, tries to do, and it does that by finding substances which, when given at full strength, mimic the symptom picture that you're seeing. So in other words, if I had a cat that was having vomiting and diarrhea and chills and all the symptoms of, like, or you had food poisoning, in reality, if you get poisoned by arsenic, okay, arsenic gives you all of those symptoms. Now, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to give your cat arsenic, but it would make sense to give your cat Arsenicum album in a homeopathic, which is an ultra, ultra dilute form that's been succussed or shaken so that the energy transfers from one dilution to the next. Because,
and that's something we did have Kayla on. That was
that was her first remedy. But
yep.
When I got food poisoning back in 1999, I was away at a homeopathy conference in Charlottesville, Virginia, Sunday night, and oh my goodness, I now know what poor puppies must feel like with parvovirus. I mean, Those of you that had it, it was just horrible, and I was like, oh my goodness, I wish I had some arsenicum, but of course I didn't take my remedy kit with me because I figured there's going to be 200 other veterinarians here that are homeopaths. Someone will have something. Needless to say, friends of mine managed to get me the remedy first thing in the morning, and arsenicum matched the symptoms. I was chilly. Both ends were going. I was thirsty for little sips of water. I was so scared to the point I left the hotel room door unlocked in case they could get in and find me.
Oh, God.
I was on the phone with Karen like half the night. I remember the middle of the night and like, oh, I wish I even had some ginger ale or something. She goes, don't you have a mini bar? You know, so I wasn't thinking very clearly. But anyhow, homeopathically, they take these substances that would cause these problems at full strength, and they dilute them and dilute them and dilute them with this succussion or shaking in between. So by the time you get to something like a 30C dilution, you are more dilute than theoretically there could be any of the original left in the substance. So we used to think of it as, okay, we're transferring energy from one level to another. But they have recently discovered something, which we won't go into too much detail, called nanoparticles. Now, nanoparticles are microscopic, microscopic, like gold and silicon particles that are bound to other materials, and they're being used in medicine more and more. Well, there was a study out recently that found nanoparticles in homeopathic remedies. And if you took something and you diluted it out like 30 times, because I'm going to make like a 30C potency of a remedy, which is a very common one, I'm going to take one unit of the original and dilute it 99. I'm going to shake it up, take one of that and dilute it 99, shake it up, take one of that and dilute it with 99 more. That would only be a 3C. So what they found is if they just diluted, 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 and diluted, they didn't find any of these nanoparticles. But if they diluted, shook, or succussed and did it, then they did find nanoparticles. So now we've gotten to that one point in homeopathy that seems to be the most difficult for people to deal with. They can deal with the fact of, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, you match the symptoms. You know, if you're giving remedies or if you're giving conventional medicine and my dog has a skin rash, and I give it a shot of cortisone and it goes away for a month and then it comes back and I give it a shot of cortisone and then 4 months after that, the skin rash goes away, but up now my dog has Addison's disease or Cushing's disease or kidney failure or liver problems. You know, so we cured the skin, but now he has a new disease. And in homeopathy, we like to think that what's happening is the body tries to keep those symptoms at the least life-threatening level, the most superficial level. I mean, skin is a problem, and albeit it can be very serious, but it usually isn't fatal. Whereas if you keep suppressing it, you keep chaining down the symptoms, you keep getting rid of the symptoms through non-homeopathic means or too many vaccinations, you know, there's so many other things that can do it, the life force is going to say, I still have to balance this somehow. I can't get up to the skin anymore. I'm not strong enough. Oh, there's the liver. And it moves down and it moves down and it down. So basics of homeopathy are really simple once you get past that fact that things are so dilute. And just believe it's energy. I'll tell you, some of my best clients I've ever had work for NASA or physicists and JPL.
They understand it.
They love the energy is energy.
Right.
So
they absolutely get it.
You know,
it looks like we have a couple of callers, so let's just see if we have a couple of questions for you. Hold on one second here. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, are you calling Healthy Pet HQ? Well, maybe not.
I might have been the first one because I pushed a button that said, wait for the
No, it was a different number.
Okay.
Let's try our next caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Okay, maybe not. Well, we've had some issues with Collins and being able to connect to them in the past, so there, it might be something that's still ongoing with Blog Talk Radio. We'll see if they'll call back if it's important enough, right? No, we'll see what happens. But we are going to give your information at the end of the show anyway, where they can reach you and where they can go to your website. So hopefully you'll end up with some new, very lucky doggy and kitty patients by the end of today.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a couple of things
horses,
about
horses, elephants,
horses,
dolphins. I'm trying to think of some
how many
of the
people
ones.
Do you know of elephants?
Well, I worked for a long time with the Elephant Sanctuary.
Okay,
in Tennessee. You know, and they were. It was incredible how responsive they were to homeopathics. The elephants, horses are wonderfully
and horses
responsive.
Too?
Oh yeah. I think they're even more responsive than dogs and cats sometimes. I think they're more, maybe they're more grounded in some way.
Well, and they're also probably not eating dry food and canned food. They're probably eating more species-appropriate diets of real food.
And then they're grazing and stuff. But the only downside is they vaccinate the heck out of them. You know, most horses that are in stables or barns where there's a lot of others, you know, and they just get the vet in every 6 months and they vaccinate them for dozens of things. So you're usually dealing with that. I've got a lot of good clients that have reached the point that they're just not putting up with it anymore unless it's something that's totally required by law.
Yeah, or if they titer and something is really not showing up in the immune system.
Yeah, that's always a double-edged sword. You know, titering reassures us that there is an immune response, but if it's not there, do you vaccinate? Because homeopathically, it's a whole other world. I personally believe that if you're going to take a titer and it's not showing protection to something serious, you know, if I get an 8-year-old dog that may have a borderline protection against parvovirus, I'm not going to go run out and get a parvovirus vaccine. You know?
Right.
But cats, I'll tell you, I have seen some serious things in older cats that are in closed households. You know, let's say maybe there's 4 or 5 cats and they haven't been interactive for many years, and then they bring kittens in, and I've seen panleukopenia or, you know, feline distemper go through a household. So I do think that's always a risk of someone who's got really, and we're talking, these were 15 to 20-year-old cats. you know, and it might have been 8 or 9 years since they'd been exposed to another animal. And then they brought in these sick kittens, and it just went through the household, actually killed one of the cats. We saved
the
rest.
And, so, yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, I mean, kitten shots are the vaccines. I actually, when clients ask me what I think that that's something to absolutely do, especially when you're adopting from a shelter or a place almost like a group home, because those diseases do go through those places very quickly.
Puppy shots, too.
And puppies, too, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, but I agree. But it's when you start overdoing it.
Right,
you know,
right. Every year, going every year.
When they're already immune. You know, because there has to be an effect. You can't take... See, our normal route of immunization, if we get the flu or we get a cold because we've been in Los Angeles or something, you know, then you'll inhale it. It'll go through all these different... Did I just lose me? Am I back?
No, you're here.
Okay, because I just bumped a wire. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And you'll go through all these natural immune protectants, you know, the complement system and everything. It might go through 20 different defense systems until virus gets in the blood, if it ever does. So you're, like, prepared for it. Whereas if they give you a vaccination, they've spent millions of dollars so that you can get virus in your blood in 20 minutes. And I always explain it like, you know, if you ever seen the movies where they're sieging the castle and they get on the outside outer wall and then the inner wall, and it takes days or weeks, and when they finally get to the inside, there's this big battle, but people are sort of prepared for it, versus when everybody's sitting around eating Thanksgiving dinner and the traitor lets the enemy soldiers in through the secret passage and they burst into the middle and everybody's running around freaked out. That's how I think of vaccinations and what they do to the immune system. So every time you go through vaccines, your immune system's going like, ah! And look, things like hyperthyroid, if we're going back to Kayla, or inflammatory bowel disease, or pancreatitis, or arthritis, a lot of immune-mediated, lupus, all of these things are immune system dysfunctions. So the least...
And it can absolutely be traced back in many cases to
over-vaccination, yearly vaccines. Yeah. At the same time, I would not go, you know, I one time took my dogs to a dog show in Miami, and three puppies came back with parvo, and one died. And they were 7 months old, and they hadn't been vaccinated because I was very strictly anti-vaccine everything very early. And then I realized that if I'm going to put them at risk, some place like a dog show where there's every virus in the world, it's not fair of me to ask them to do that without some initial protection. So I
and which, again,
do believe
we talk about not over-vaccinating.
Yeah, puppy shots, kitten shots, and then titers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It looks like we have one of our callers back. Let's see if we can get them on the air. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Caller, can you hear us? Okay, it looks like this issue has not been solved yet by Blog Talk Radio, so we're going to have to keep looking into
that. Okay,
but
anybody that emails in their question to you, you can forward it to me, and I'll let you post however you want.
Okay, so the email for this show is healthypethq@gmail.com. That's healthypethq@gmail.com. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the homeopathic procedures. I'm just guessing that a lot of your clients, when they talk to you about it, they're asking questions like, how fast will I see my pet cured with homeopathy, and how do you talk to them about that?
Well, I usually use the thumbnail is you can probably expect it to take at least a month for every year you've been sick.
Wow, okay.
Okay, and it also is a definition of what they call a cure. A lot of people come and they have one specific symptom that they think is the problem, that IBD, you know, inflammatory bowel, really common in cats, or eosinophilic granulomas or something like that, or inappropriate urination. And as soon as that thing is better, which could be overnight or it could take months. It really depends on the accuracy of the prescription, the other things that are being done in the household, the diet, you know. So usually people see results within a month. A lot of times they see it within a week. You know, that doesn't
mean...
And
if they don't see... Yeah, I was going to say, do they actually come back sometimes and say, well, I don't think this is working, we have to try a different remedy?
Absolutely.
Or do you offer that up?
That's, that's the important part, is the interchange. Because I'll talk to people, I'll have people that won't physically come in. I have clients as far away as Singapore, you know, that we do Skype or we talk on the phone, and they draw the symptom picture, I take down the history. And then I come up with what I think is the most appropriate remedy. And sometimes it's like if you picture, acetates, plastic, with drawings on it, and a book full of them. And you're looking at first and you're seeing like all these trees and bushes. And then you peel back the first acetate and you realize, oh, there's a little smokestack in the distance. And then you peel back the next one and some of the trees are gone and now you're seeing that it's a farmhouse. And you peel back the next one, and now it's a whole different picture than what you had when you started. So sometimes you have to give the remedy, you have to see what things get better, what things don't change, what new things might appear, because maybe something's being revealed historically. And then you have to say, oh, that fits the remedy still, let's do it again. Or you have to say, well, I'm seeing that maybe that was close, but this is a better remedy. And once in a while, you're seeing nothing. You know, that. And if there's really no change, and you talk to that client, and you can be sure there's no change, and they aren't using, like, Vicks VapoRub every night and antidoting the remedy, or and a lot of times they're on a lot of medication. I remember back then, Kayla was on, like, what, I think prednisone, it says.
Yeah, I think she's on prednisone and maybe methimazole. But we ended up getting her, I finally got her off the prednisone.
Yeah. But sometimes, remember, a homeopathic remedy uses your energy, your animals, your life energy to initiate a healing. It doesn't force anything on the body. It's like turning the key on your car and the car starts. It's the key, often. Whereas drugs force themselves on the body. I mean, I can give you a homeopath, or you can be meditating, and you can be in a really cool place and just very mellow, and your body has gotten you to this wonderful place, and then your beeper goes off. Well, no beepers anymore. Your cell phone goes off, and it's an emergency with a friend, and you're, like, right back. Because you're working from within. I can give you a couple of Valium.
Part of your life is gone.
With a shot of bourbon, you know, or a bottle of wine, and I don't
care. So what are you doing later? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't care if you hear the phone or not. You're not going to be able to respond as well because it's forced you into that depressed state or that alcohol state. And drugs do that. They inflict their state. In fact, a lot of the drugs that we use, they give to effect. Well, it's not working.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead. You got a caller?
No. Yeah, we do. We'll get them in a second. But also, with drugs, they always talk about side effects. They're not side effects. They are effects. So every time you're suppressing something, it's going to affect something else. And most of these drugs, of course, end up going through the digestive system. So they're ending up either in the kidneys or the liver as the body tries to detox itself. So when we have a sick cat or dog who is on a lot of these medications that might be managing the symptoms, as we were talking about earlier, the symptoms, they're not really helping the body heal, and they're more likely to start affecting another part of the body. And that's one of the reasons people are starting to go more and more to holistic practitioners, whether for humans or for pets, and they're doing it, and it's changing the way a lot of pets are living, living longer, living better. I mean, besides homeopathy, you do a lot of other things. You're the acupuncture, of course, but I love the laser and the doggles. You have to talk about the doggles.
Well, we're using a class 4 laser now, which is a much higher power, and it's a cold laser. It's not like a cutting laser. It's used for bone injuries. It's used for stimulating healing. It's used for disc problems. It's used for a lot of anti-inflammatory. So there could be a certain level of suppression if it was overused in a homeopathic case, but
okay.
Basically, and the Facebook has our Facebook page, Natural Holistic, has a lot of pictures, but we have to wear protective glasses to be safe because it's powerful, and so we also have protective glasses for the dogs and cats, and we use the doggles, which I mean, people. I think that's the most adorable thing, and the animals just sit there for it. I mean,
they really do.
Yeah, and it seems to calm them, and they also know they're going to feel better after the laser. We use the laser a lot with skin problems, and we use acupuncture, we use herbal, and sometimes we mix and match. We tend to want to keep our homeopathy separate, just from the same basis that we talked about with, you know, not interfering with the reaction. Because remember, when you're on a whole bunch of things, and you change a whole bunch of things at once, let's say I have a cat that has inflammatory bowel disease or something like that, unheard of, but and we change the diet, I give a homeopathic remedy, we stop your medication, and she gets diarrhea. Well, is that a reaction to the remedy? Is that changing the diet all at once? Is that stopping the medicine? So a lot of animals come on medications and crappy food. And the things we like to do is maybe we'll change the diet first and then do a remedy. Or maybe we'll do a remedy, wait a few days, then change the diet or start working with changing the diet because I'm sure now the old grasshopper, the teachers become the student when it comes to treating you, Jody, and the other way around. You've put so much energy into this. But I've seen people take older animals that are really toxic and really weak and on all kinds of meds, and they're going to go like, well, I'm going to all raw food, natural, and they change them completely overnight, and sometimes they start detoxing so fast that it can be dangerous for them.
Yeah, they can be very sick, and that's one thing I always stress. With dogs, you can usually change a diet within 2 weeks, doing it slowly. Cats can take a month or more. One of my cats, to get her onto raw food, it took me 6 full months to get her completely on raw food, but it was worth it. She is the healthiest little thing ever. And my other cat, Obi, who I've been cooking for many years, I finally switched him over to raw food. And then he just looked at me one day and he's like, but man, I'd like some cooked food. So now we go back and forth. And that's fine. It works
for him.
It's
like getting him off of dry food. You know, that's like kitty crack.
It is kitty crack.
I mean, and dogs are easier. I mean, not every dog is easy. And I've had dogs wait me out where I've had to meet them in the middle. But boy, I had a cat once that, Ragdoll Bonnie, and all she loved was Fancy Feast. And I was going to change her life, and I was going to get her on a raw diet, and I don't care if I had to starve her. Well, I think I lasted 48 hours or 72 hours because she waited me out. I'm not sure Karen wasn't slipping or something on the side, but so here's the holistic vet walking through Publix with a cart full of Fancy Feast for years.
Oh my God.
But they're so rigid sometimes. I think getting them over needs to, I mean, I find, and I know we've talked about this, that sometimes really sick cats that don't want to eat will eat like raw beef, but they like it in chunks. Little like right. one eighth inch or 1/4 inch by 1/4 inch little pieces. They don't like it ground because they think it's that hunting instinct.
Right, and they want to tear something apart.
Yeah, but I'll have kidney failure cats, and people will come around and say, well, don't they have to be on this cardboard, on this low-protein stuff? And I'll say, no, they can be on really high-protein as long as it's a complete protein. So there's all...
Right.
People have asked me over the years, if you do all of these different things, you know, you do... But if you could only do one thing, what would it be? And it is always nutrition. Because
yeah, absolutely.
I've seen a 40%, 50% change. I used to tell people I can't talk to you for a month if it wasn't an emergency, but here, start working towards a raw diet. You know, and a month later they call and say, hey, I don't need you anymore. My animal's all better.
Oh, my God. Well, so that's a double-edged sword now. But it's good. And the truth is they'll always come to you for everything after that because you've already helped their babies thrive. So the next time that baby has a rash.
Anything that makes them truly on the path to healing, I embrace. You know, however they get there.
No, I completely agree. Let me see. We've got somebody on hold, so let's see if we can get them this time. Is this third time or fourth time lucky? Here we go. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Are you there? Okay, sorry. We're just not connecting. Well,
there's a reason for everything. So maybe there'll be more things on it that we'll do online, and then more people than a few will get it, you know.
And we can have you come back anytime you want to. There's always something to share. There's always something new. You're always on an adventure. Clients fly you around the country, around the world. I'm sure you're picking up new tidbits everywhere you go. You go to these conventions. You know everybody. You've always got something going on. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you about, too, is the foundation. I think we should let people know what the foundation is doing and how they can help.
Well, the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Foundation, HVMF, is something that we started about 2 years ago as an offshoot of the HVMA, and now it's its own independent thing. And what it's doing is it's promoting holistic veterinary research, scholarships, and we've actually got courses going in like four vet schools now, because most everybody knows Drs. McCullough and Dr. Becker. And last year, they offered us a 2-to-1 match for any money we raised during this 1 week. They did that twice, figuring we'd raise like $20,000 or $30,000. Well, we raised a couple $100,000.
That's amazing.
From clients and then just people who really felt this was important. Last year, the foundation raised over $800,000, and we just dispersed or authorized $500,000 in grants. Now, I will point out that none of the research is allowed to inflict harm on animals. You know?
Okay, good.
There are, you know, if you want to study a bunch of animals that have IBD, that's fine, but you can't give them IBD to study it. You know, it's very, very animal-friendly in that way. There's, you know, and people that have donated where they're against any animal research or animal testing whatsoever, we completely understand and honor that, and those are the monies that will go towards, like, scholarship programs or even starting to think about working with PETA to find and enhance veterinary education where they're not doing surgery on animals or using computer modeling and stuff. So it's a pretty cool adventure. It's very exciting, especially in these economic times that people are willing to put their money where their hearts was.
So do you see that the field of veterinary, holistic veterinary medicine is growing? Do you feel that energy? Do you think people are more interested, especially some of the people that have been conventional vets for a while? I know many now are becoming acupuncturists and doing some other things and getting a little bit more well-versed in nutrition. But do you feel it? Do you feel the shift? Or
yeah,
are you just
I do.
Hopeful that it's happening?
Well, I think you can see it just if you watch television and you see the advertising. Now they're advertising holistic pet foods and holistic products and holistic for, whether they are or not is a whole other discussion.
Right. At least they're trying.
Least it's becoming on one side. On the other side, the more inroads we make, the stronger the resistance from certain groups.
Right.
You know, that say, oh, you know, you can't prove that. You know, even though, you know, there's never, from my understanding, been what they call a double-blind study, which is where there's two groups of patients, and some are getting the substance and some aren't, and they don't know who
it is. And also the people, right, and also the people administering the test don't know which one
exactly.
They're doing.
Exactly. You know, I don't think it's ever been done for chemotherapy.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, I don't think morally it would be right.
No, I
to do it, but I mean, here, we believe in chemo, and I mean, I'm not dissing chemo, because I think every tool that we have available is great at the right time. But
right.
At the same time, they say, oh, there's no double-blind studies in homeopathy. Well, here you're taking something that is tailored to the individual patient. We know.
And how long has homeopathy been around? I mean, it was discovered by, wasn't discovered by a veterinarian?
No, it was.
With his horse in the field?
No, way before that. It was.
That's
discovered.
What I read.
Well, actually, it goes back to, like, Hippocrates, when they talked about treating like with like and
right.
Paracelsus.
Okay.
But Samuel Hahnemann in the late 1700s came to understand it and started researching in it and experimenting in it and wrote The Organon of Medicine, of which there were six different versions over 50, 60 years. I mean, he lived into his 80s. And so the father of homeopathy is Samuel Hahnemann. And it's interesting because he's also the one that developed what is known, if we also remember back to high school, as the scientific method of hypothesis and experimentation and everything. So figure 250 years of solid, whatever you want to call it, being systematized, but it's still being mm-hmm. developed and it's still being worked with. And I guess the scariest thing to most of the drug companies is the medicines don't cost a whole lot. It's also the main system of treatment in places like India and the Far East, where there's just billions of people that use it. And what's cool with animals is when you get past the individual animal and you think about herd health, you think about cattle, you think about goats, you think about milk herds. You know, when you give antibiotics or you give other drugs, then that product can't be used, like milk. If an animal's been on right. antibiotics, it has to be withdrawn for X number of weeks before, or supposedly, before you can use the milk. But you treat that same cow homeopathically.
Right, that you don't lose that. So on the economic front, it
right.
makes a lot more
sense.
Right,
it can be very. It's used a lot in farming now. And
that's encouraging. And I think a lot of the people have spoken, and this is one good thing about the Internet. People have been able to connect with like-minded people and organized many different, I don't want to call them protests, but maybe initiatives, and really challenged the food system, especially in this country, and saying, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? What does that inspection really mean? Well, why are those hormones added to the cows? Well, what if you just had the cows not be on these hormones and not add aspartame to the milk? Like, why can't we just go back to milk? And it's making people really think about it and having a lot of people switch over, even people who aren't what they, you know, they don't call themselves holistic and they're not really into natural things. They're buying organic milk. They're looking for local farmers who have local milk and some even going to the raw milk because we've challenged the system and the system doesn't give us satisfactory answers. So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, and that gets to the bigger question. You know, what direction are our lives going? You know, homeopathy, a lot of people that bring their animals to us for, usually out of desperation, you know.
Right, they come to you late. They don't come to you from the beginning. They come to you when the animal's sick.
Or when they've been told nothing else can help, or they heard from someone, or they listened or read something. And they come, and then they realize, and sometimes they're really sick animals, and sometimes they're really sick to the point that we're here to help them deal with the hospice care. You know, I never approach one like that because, I mean, I've seen animals where tumors were gone in a month type thing, where they were supposed to be putting the animal to sleep. So, to me, the only thing I haven't seen happen yet is that, like, you grow back a leg. But that'll happen sometime,
not yet.
Maybe with stem cells. But then the person often gets their eyes opened and their chronic issues, and they find a homeopath or they find a naturopath or they start working along those energetic lines. And sometimes I think the animal is just their angel, their guide, to bring them to holistic healing. And it's
heal the whole family, exactly.
Often we end up treating whole families because the problems, the emotional stuff the animal's going through is because they're busy having fights with their six-year-old or whatever. You know, and sometimes you have to expand to a greater totality and find someone that can help them. You know, and it's some of it's just counseling. Some of it is just helping them see what's in front of them, and a lot of it's the remedy, and a lot of it's the diet, and just being able to sit back. You know, when you go to the veterinarian, you go out about 8 minutes with the veterinarian. Okay,
and with you, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Or, you know, we sit and we talk one on one, and we look at the animal, or if we're on the phone. You know, that's all that we're doing. And sometimes we'll, you know, I still am a veterinarian. A lot of times I'll pick up something that the conventional vet should have if they'd been actually listening to what you were saying. And I'll say to you, you know, this isn't what the supposedly it is. Go get another test or recheck that. And
I think that's something that's important for people who are interested in seeing you, is that Doc B can also draw blood. He can do those things, or you can have the diagnostic stuff done with a traditional vet and then bring the results to Doc B so he can take a look and see what's going on from that standpoint while he's talking to you, and he could start connecting those dots, and that's really important. Because you are getting a full picture that way.
It's good. You know, I look at a case from all different directions. I mean, I have, it's almost going to be 37 years since I graduated. That's hard to think. I went to vet school when I was four.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew that, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and I spent the first 15, 20 years just running conventional practice and doing surgery and stuff. So I have to stay up on so many things. But I'll tell you, when something comes in that's newer, I often depend on the client. They know, they've studied more about this thing than I ever could. So when you say you learn from every one of your clients, you do, because they know. Did you know that heartworm tests in dogs, the SNAP, the ELISA test, measures whether there's only female worms in the heart?
Oh, my God. That's really
scary. Doesn't measure males. The males don't have the antigen that's tested.
So a lot of people are thinking my dog is clear and I don't have to even worry about even a natural remedy or anything.
Right, yeah.
Because everything's fine.
I was like, nah, that can't be right. And then I went and looked it up and I said, well, that's something new for me.
I think you just educated a whole lot of people. I think everybody right now is going, uh-oh. So,
I don't know if there's more detailed tests. And heartworm is a problem in cats too. Nowhere near as much as they're trying to sell us on. Put your cat on heartworm prevention every month. I don't see that, but you know, anything to sell medicine, I think.
Most cats will hopefully a lot more than there used to be are living exclusively inside, and if they're not exposed to mosquitoes, they're not going to be bitten and they're not going to have heartworm. But of course, one can always get through a screen, and it is good to be vigilant. But just, you know, if you see something wrong, you call up Dr. B. That's what you do.
You know, there's people. There are people that die in automobile accidents because they are wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
Okay. Does that mean no one should wear a seatbelt? I mean, yeah, the mosquito's going to sneak in, but whether that mosquito's actually going to be infectious and have heartworm that it got from another animal, and, you know, you always have to weigh the odds and the risk versus the cost on the animal of the medication. And I'm not advocating for or against. I'm just saying think about it before you just blindly do something that the vet tells you.
And think about preventative things like using neem oil, which keeps mosquitoes away, and it's, you know, something you could put on the cat's collar or on the kitty's wearing a little shirt. Or just
we have so many dogs on natural diets, on raw food diets, on natural remedies, you know, homeopathics, good vitamins, and whether they're on heartworm or not on heartworm, some people give it every 2 months. Some people haven't given it for years and years. And I don't remember the last case of one of my patients going to heartworm positive. And I'm talking, back 15 years, at least.
And we're in Florida, for anybody who's listening outside of the state. We have mosquitoes pretty much year-round. It's not, I mean, the spring is worse, absolutely, but we have them year-round. We are a humid, humid state. And there are mosquitoes everywhere. And sometimes we see those giant ones. They come around in the spring and summer, and they look like they're setting up a tent in your backyard. But, you know, it is an issue in wetter states. And even in the states that are cold some of the year, once it becomes warm, it really can become an infestation. So you kind of have to judge about where you live, what kind of mosquitoes there are, what's happening, and talk to your vet, talk to a holistic vet as well, and weigh the options. And whatever decision you make is going to be the right decision for you. But just make sure you have all the information before you make
fear.
That decision.
Don't do it strictly from fear.
Right. You know? That's it. It's from education.
Right.
Well, Doc B, I am so excited you were on the show today. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you give all the information for people to contact you, your website, your email, all that stuff.
Essentially, just go to the website. It's naturalholistic.com, or we just started the newer one, which is actually docb.com. It has all the instructions for contacting our office. We do ask that you fill something up, do some reading, and fill out a little form online, because that way it saves Karen, because if every call that came in here, she had to take 20 or 30 minutes to discuss what are your office charges, what are your hours, what's homeopathy and stuff. You know, we'd never be able to get anything done with our existing patients. So we ask that you do the online reading first, fill out the form, registration, and if you want to get started with us, those are the few steps, and at that point, we're yours.
Well, that's awesome. And again, I've been using Dr. B for my pets for many, many years. He's been so wonderful. I have a cat that would get nervous every time somebody came to the house. And he still does for some people. He's better. He does come out now. But there was one person in particular, and Dr. B said, well, does that person have some emotional issues? I said, well, yeah, does she? And it ended up that once I made her kind of aware of how she was when she arrived and added the remedy for my kitty, they get along pretty well now, and he's usually out for her. So really, I mean, I can really tell you how well this really does work. It's not magic, even though I do refer to Dr. B as magic, because he is. he just is, and that not in a derogatory way. He has a lot of knowledge and knows what he's doing, but he just makes things happen that you just can't believe. It's right in front of your eyes within a week or two, and you're like, I can't believe this is the same cat or the same dog that was going through so much 2 weeks ago. So I do encourage you, if you are interested in holistic medicine and interested in maybe finding a better path for your cat or dog to go on, whether they're sick or not, definitely contact Dr. B. So thank you so much for being with us, and please check in with us again soon. Let me know when you have something new to share, and we will definitely bring you back on.
Well, I had fun. Thank you. I love talking.
Okay, good. Well, you came to the right place. Thank
All
you,
right.
And you have a
so
lovely afternoon.
You guys take care and just stay open and stay healthy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.